I was visiting last night with Bill Hastings from the Tulsa World, and, you know, with what we consider over here particularly the Big Four with the two Oklahoma schools, Tulsa and Arkansas, I mean, this is about as big a weekend across the board, you know, as you could probably get. You. And again, I know it doesn't get much attention down there, but, you know, Cincinnati's coming in here to play Tulsa Saturday night. You know, and
a ball game last year that Tulsa did everything but win.
Yeah.
They had the ball on the goal line. I think they had I forget, was it Brand playing quarterback? Whoever it was for Tulsa slips.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he scores a touchdown, and
yes.
Cincinnati's not playing in the playoffs if that happened. Maybe Oklahoma State would have been. Who knows?
Well, all that kind of stuff. You know, Cincinnati ends up being a Final Four team. And the whole deal, and they're coming in here, and Tulsa's. You know, they're being pretty quiet as they should be about what, you know, whether Josh Brenn, the quarterback who turned his ankle last week, you know, against Ole Miss, whether he's going to play or something. They got
Davis, a
young kid, that, you know, you look pretty good. Now, if Brenn was healthy and could play, Tulsa can throw the ball around pretty good. You know, Cincinnati obviously, you know, lost Ritter, the quarterback, and they got a little bit of a kid named Bryant that had been there and transferred out and came back. You know, and everything, and obviously they're solid, and Cincinnati's got a bunch of kids back, but most all that offensive line from a year ago is back. In fact, they all are. You know, defensively they lost some people, but it's still it's a quality football team. And then in Tulsa, that's an immensely big ball game over here.
6 o'clock game on ESPNU. Mm-hmm. You can watch it on ESPNU if you're not going to be up there. But, yeah, Tulsa, I mean, they beat Wyoming at Wyoming in the opener. Then they get by Northern.
Wyoming beat them
by three.
Yeah,
by three. I'm sorry.
And shouldn't have. They let it get away from them. They should have won that
ball game.
Right.
What I meant to say was that they lose a 3-point game in the opener, win a 3-point game in the second game, destroy Jacksonville State as they should. And then last week, now they got way behind 35-14 second quarter, but came back and made a game of it with Ole Miss when they were like, what, Pat, over a 20-point underdog or whatever?
Yeah, you know, they shut out Ole Miss in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, you know, and moved the ball around and got back in the ball game. I mean, and pressed Ole Miss. I don't know how good Ole Miss really is, but they're decent, you know. So
this ought to be a
really interesting ball game. So you got Cincinnati coming in here, and then across the way over here you got Alabama coming to Fayetteville. And Arkansas should have won that game against A&M. I mean, goodness gracious, that's liable. Well, I'm afraid it's going to haunt them. But you know, this ought to be 4-0, and you got College Game Day over there as opposed to going to Clemson. But it's terribly big ball game. Arkansas's kind of playing. I mean, they're fighting for their life over there as far as being, you know, really being able to stay in the picture in the conference and nationally. I mean, still have a good year, but if they're going to. If they're really going to do anything, they got to win this ball game, particularly after they let that one get away from last week.
They lead the FBS with 20 sacks. Obviously, they got to put pressure on Bryce Young, right?
Sure.
To have a chance to win this game.
Sure. Well, they got to keep him from going. Young Fu for nearly 600 yards on Arkansas last year, you know, and everything. Arkansas, that's the scariest thing because Arkansas is a bit shaky in the secondary. You know, they've had some injuries and all this sort of thing, but they're still really, you know, a pretty solid football team. Arkansas's got to play good, but, Arkansas can win this game.
But that was still a close game that they played him, even though he threw for all those yards against him last year.
It was.
42-35. Arkansas comes into Tuscaloosa as a 20-point underdog and played them down to the wire in that game last year.
Yep. And, we had their play-by-play guy on over here yesterday and everything. You know, with Bryce Young, the quarterback, the defending Heisman Trophy winner, Will Anderson, this number 31, if you watch the game, just watch number 31.
Monster.
Is most people generally considered probably the best defensive player in the country.
Yeah.
You know, he's one kind of like the Dallas does, that kid down there. You
Parsons,
know, outside pass rusher that shows up someplace at other places, and he's really hard to handle, you know. But so
they got another one, Dallas Turner, also, that can really
oh,
trust
yeah.
the pass.
Will Anderson, he's one of those guys.
I was going to say, Pat, I would think when the defensive coordinator walks in the meeting room, and he gets the piece of chalk or the magic mark or whatever, he writes 31 and circles it on the board.
That's the first thing. You better know where he is. Better know where he is, and you can't let him have some kind of monster day on you or you're beat. Now, I think, to me, the key is Arkansas being able to run the football and keep the ball out of Alabama's hands offensively. You know, Rocket Sanders, they've got this other back named Johnson over there that has been this young kid that's been beat up. They played him. Who's got some juice. And I think Rocket Sanders is a good back. Big Jefferson, the quarterback, you know, he is a big kid who can run. You know, so if Arkansas's got, you know, offensive linemen that are good players, if Arkansas's got to be able to run the ball. I'm not all the time all about stats, but I do think if Arkansas runs for over 200 yards against them, Arkansas might win the ball game or have a chance to win the ball game.
And you got to at least mention the linebacker Bumper Pool, right, Pat?
Well, now the other
best
linebacker
name in college football.
The other linebacker Sanders is a kid that transferred from Alabama. Was a good player over there.
Drew Sanders.
And he's all over Everplace. You know, the Alabama people were talking to us about him yesterday.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's a legitimate good player. He'll pop out at you. I mean, Pool is a he's a good college player. He is. Pool's a good college player. This other kid,
Sanders
is probably a notch above that.
6'5", 244, Sanders.
He's a big, good-looking kid that can do a number of things. Arkansas, like I say, is a little bit scary to me in the secondary against Bryce Young and the Alabama receivers. But
Sanders, by the way, the guy you're talking about, Pat, is tied for the most sacks in the country right now, 5.5.
Yeah. Arkansas can rush the passer if you can get them in long yardage. That's the key to that. You know, I mean, if you just let them kind of throw at will, they're liable to burn you. You know, now Arkansas can hit some throws too. Their receiver core is pretty good. Hazelwood and those guys, they're not bad. They've got some other kids over there that can run and catch the ball. But I think Arkansas's got to be able to run the ball fairly consistently. I don't mean just line up and, you know, run for a touchdown every play, but it's to be able to run the ball effectively, you know, and hold it and keep it out of the hands of the Alabama attack with Bryce Young and them.
That game is 2:30 on CBS. And Matt, what is the line on that one?
It was right around 17 or so. I'll double check.
I had it because I had marked it was 17.5, which leads me into.
That's right. It was 17.5.
Yep.
I'm locking Arkansas.
Taking the Hogs plus the points.
Stanford Steve did the same thing last night. On with it. He took Arkansas and the 17.5.
Coach, you think anybody over there would be excited to watch some football tomorrow? I got to think that'll be a fun place to be.
Well, the Red Devils will bring some people, too.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, there'll be more red in that stadium. That whole stadium will be red.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, unfortunately, it's at the what time is that game?
2:30 CBS. 2:30.
Yeah, it's the same time Oklahoma State is.
So
that's a switchback between the two, which I don't like to do. But anyway, you got to do what you got to do, right, Matt?
That's right.
But that's ought to be a hell of a good ball game with Arkansas.
All right, Pat. And then let's talk about the OU game first because we hadn't touched on that yet this morning. Then we'll get you to talk about Baylor OSU.
Right.
But what do you think about the Sooners heading to Fort Worth to play TCU?
Well, again, when I ranked the Big 12 coming out of this week, I still had OU at 2. I don't know where they are. It's hard for me. It wouldn't shock me I said yesterday, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything, I don't know where the best team might have won last week with K-State. I'm not sure where OU is. I mean, I think Dylan Gabriel's it will play good. I think those receiver Mims and those guys are good players. I don't know where, OU hasn't got, but particularly by their standards, a really big-time back. They're good players and tough kids and everything, but, it's not somebody that's going to get you up out of your chair. But defensively, I mean, OU's, they're going, they got, against TCU, OU's got a lot to prove defensively. You know, they went out there wallowed around against K-State, any way you slice it.
No question.
And let Martinez and the young back have a big day and everything and I don't know. I don't know where OU is. I still think they'll win the ball game. I think I picked them by one or something like that, I think I picked it 31-28 OU. But gosh, I don't know. I mean, if I would imagine Venables and them have. I think they were putting on a little bit of front, just kind of, acting like, hey, this is just a little bit of a hiccup and we got to get better. When you don't tackle anybody or get off blocks, that's more than a hiccup. That's not a hiccup. Trust me. Been there, done that. Been through that.
Now they're going up against a TCU offense that they put 42 points on on SMU. Yep. Had almost 500 yards on SMU last week.
Well, you know, Duggan, the quarterback's played. He's played. Miller, the back is a good player. They've got receivers. Quentin Johnson is a big, strong guy that's probably going to be drafted relatively high. They've got TCU has got some guys, skilled
Darius
players
Davis,
offense. Davis,
kid,
yes.
Kick
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All that kind of stuff. TCU's got a good football team. I mean, this will not be easy. Not that OU can't win. You know, but this will not be an easy ball game for them. Turn the ball over much or any of that kind of stuff or help out TCU, you're going to get beat. You know, and if you don't tackle those kids, you're probably going to get beat anyway. You know,
yep.
So I don't know. This will be a very, very interesting ball game.
Coach, does it – I'll ask you from a coaching standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Craig and I were talking about this. Does it make sense tomorrow – or throughout the week, I guess would be a better way of phrasing it, for mm-hmm. Oklahoma State to game plan, getting the ball to the perimeter more just to neutralize Ika up front. In other words, when you know you're going against a really good defensive tackle, does it make sense to run more tosses, try to get the ball to the perimeter more?
It comes back to, Matt, in this day and time, how much of what they're doing is RPO.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, I mean, that's the universal question. I know I say it probably every day, but, you know, in most of this league, Oklahoma State, they're into that stuff pretty good now, which means there's a ride-and-decide element to it. You don't really know where the ball's going until after it's snapped.
Okay.
The quarterback can keep it. You can hand it off. You can, you know, throw a hitch. You can throw a slant. You know, there's all kind, and people are doing some interesting things with it. Now, there is what you call a I thought he thought element. You know, it sounds all great on the grease board until you get out there, and then the kid says, well, I thought the guy was, you know, and then the receiver said, I thought this guy was, you know, and all that stuff.
And it's second and 13.
Yeah,
quick.
Second and 13, or they got the ball and the official's pointing the other way or something, you know.
Well, let me ask you this then, Pat.
But I think the main thing, excuse me, Matt, about what you're getting at here is you know, there are, like we were talking about yesterday, there's elements of combination blocks with everything running game.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
You know, and that's these two could be a center and a guard or a guard and a tackle,
mm-hmm.
depending on where he's lined up or anybody like him. And they're you know, now again, it's knock the down people off the ball, number one, and then once somebody get up to the second level,
mm-hmm.
that's the combination block stuff. So, you know, now the real big deal is, and again, this gets back down to down and distance. You know, I mean, if it's nowhere this guy is, particularly with pass protection.
Sure.
Because this guy can just kind of eat you up, you know. He's kind of one of those monster kind of guys, you know. So they better know where he is. Now, whether they try to attack him outside, but that comes back, Matt, to, in my humble opinion, you know, with Oklahoma State, you know, it's – the quarterback's got to have – he's got to have a big – Spencer Sanders has to have a big day.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have a big day.
Has to take care of the ball. I mean, we say it every week. I know that.
Right.
But I'm just saying, looking at and not that the games last year have bearing on what's going to take place tomorrow, but Oklahoma State was able to overcome Sanders throwing interceptions in the game in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They were not – I mean, they came this close, but they weren't able to overcome that in Arlington last year in the Big 12 title game. So that's obviously something that's very important.
Can't be turning the ball over much and expect to win, you know. But I think if Oklahoma State is to beat Baylor, you know, again, I think Spencer Sanders, what we said yesterday, Spencer Sanders has to be the best player on the field. He really is. You know, the wild card in this particular ball game to me could be, maybe because I'm intrigued with the kid a little bit, is Richard Reese, this young tailback from Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's a freshman, not particularly highly recruited, from Belleville, Texas, I think, that he's a good-looking player who I think I saw a 21 flat 200 meters, I think.
Yeah.
He's got some attested track times that are real fast.
You know, back to Spencer Sanders, it's amazing that he's thrown 20 interceptions, and nine of those have come against Baylor. Seven in two games last season and two other ones the first time he played them. But, yeah.
I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy, but you know, you get the interception. How many of them went through a receiver's hands? How many of them? Now he has in the past. He can pick up the open linebacker at times and just spear him. I mean, we've seen him do that. But you get into that. He does not seem to be. He seems to be taking better care of the ball this year because he's an older guy. you know, and everything, as far as just firing the ball into a crowd and everything. Now, if he starts throwing the ball into a crowd or gets, you know, turn the ball over, I mean, Baylor will beat their brains out. But if he doesn't and he has a big day running and throwing, Oklahoma State could win this ball game.
Yeah, 10 touchdowns, only one pick so far this year. OSU, number two in the country in scoring against, granted, a light schedule so far. Also, Jacob Unruh had these numbers, Pat, I thought were very interesting in this morning's paper, that OSU is 15-6 against top 25 teams in their last 21 games against top 25 teams. They're 15-6. And against teams ranked 21 to 25 on the road, Cowboys are 4-1. But the last time OSU beat a top 20 team on the road was Bedlam of 2014. So, again, this is
Oklahoma,
easy game.
They've beaten most of everybody they've played here for about the last decade, period. So, I mean, that's all that tells me is they're pretty good. And they've been pretty good, you know. So, again, how they play down there, you don't know. You gotta shape it and can't have a real big day. And the big kid, how do you pronounce the Polynesian kid's name?
Ika.
I mean, yeah, he can't go wild on you. You know, I'm not saying you just line up and kick his, you know what, but you know, you gotta somewhat try to neutralize him. And then Spencer Sanders have a good day. I don't care; those other stats mean nothing to me, Craig. Other than Oklahoma State's been playing good for the last decade. That's what that means.
But I'm just saying that they've lost their last five against AP top 20 on the road.
That stat means nothing to me, to be quite honest about it, Craig.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
F.A. played at Oklahoma A&M from 50 to 52, you know, and was a good player. Coached in the NFL for a number of years, really was. F.A. was one of the guys who was kind of in the early part of the collegiate really throwing game type of stuff. And then was with the Houston Oilers and then went to Tulsa from 72 to 76 and had some good teams over there. And then goes down to TCU in 77. And really, I mean, and guys are really a good football coach and a good guy. And really didn't, they were 12-51-3 down there. And good man. F.A.'s still around. He's still kicking. You know, good guy, good football coach, F.A. Dry. Nice job. Thanks, everybody, trying. That's a hard one.
Very good. Nine caller. Yeah, nine you calls. Know, congrats to Jay.
You know, when I was coaching at SMU, which was 76, this would have been 76. It could have been 77, too. But I coached his son, Mike. His son walked on over at SMU and was a pretty good player. Played, and then he transferred back over there to TCU and played for his father, Mike Dry, good guy, and really pretty good football player. We actually played him some, but he was, which always seems strange to me, to the, you know, the head coach's son at TCU was playing over at SMU, but later did transfer back over and played for his dad. Good family, good guys, good football people.
All right, so, Pat, we talked about the four games involving OU, OSU, Tulsa, Arkansas. Yeah. You got some picks for us on those games?
Okay, all right, and here you go. I got Oklahoma 31, TCU 28, which means I have no clue. I got Oklahoma State 31, Baylor 30, which means I have no clue. I got Alabama 35, Arkansas 28. I got a little bit of a clue there. Hope Arkansas hangs. I got Cincinnati 28, Tulsa 27. You know, these last several games with them have been right down to the wire. So, you know, this.
That, so four games all within a touchdown, three of them within a field goal or whatever. You expect for some good games this weekend.
Well, I hope the one in Fayetteville doesn't get away from them. You know, I mean, if you turn the ball over and stuff, I mean, any of them could. You know, but that one with Alabama, with that caliber player and what they have been, but Arkansas's got a good football team, and really this should be 4-0 versus 4-0, and play College Game Day over there, and everybody happy. But you know, fumble the ball and goal line going in, and miss a field goal, and Now you got Alabama coming to town, and you're kind of fighting for your life here. Arkansas will give them a battle. I'll be very surprised if they don't.
Okay. Let's. I tell you what, Pat. Let's touch on a couple of other national games, and because okay. we only have a couple of minutes here, and then we'll spend next segment on the NFL. But I do want to get your thoughts just on a few. North Carolina State, Clemson, Pat.
Mm-hmm. That is. Is that a Friday game? Is that that's not tonight though, is it?
No, it's
that's
the
Saturday. It's 6:30 on ABC.
That's right.
Yeah, 6:30 game
you
our
know,
time.
I haven't seen really very much of either one of them. You know, NC State, y'all did a good job of talking about them, and you know, NC State has rocked around. I was looking at something over all the years they've been playing football over there. You know, they've had one double digit winning season. Chuck Amato had one back in there in 2002 or something, but it's you know, they've got a pretty good football team. I just haven't seen much of them going to Clemson. Matt said something interesting. You know, Clemson, this is not a typical for what we've seen of late defensive football team apparently at Clemson.
No, that's not.
And so I don't know, you know, now for NC State to go over there and win will be hard. But I what's the line on that ball game?
It's like 7, didn't we say, Matt?
Yes.
I would think it would be a close ball game. As little as I know about really either one of them, I would think it would be a close ball game. And like Matt said, I read somebody else said that this is the biggest game in NC State football history.
Well, just
because it is both of them ranked. I mean, because, you know.
Both in the top 10. I mean,
top 10, I mean.
They've never had a game where they and their opponent at the same time were in the top 10.
Sure.
So, Pat, I mean, unless they. You know, I mean, unless I'm missing some big bowl game in their past, this has got to be the biggest game in the history of their school, I would think.
It is. Now, again, and Craig talked about this, NC State beat them last year.
Yes, they did. That's right.
So this won't – NC State, well, this ought to be a good ball game. It's not given, you know, the history of NC State football. They've only had one double-digit winning season in ever. But you know, they've had solid football, particularly for the last number of years here.
Yeah. Pat, any opinion on that Kentucky Ole Miss game?
You know, I don't know about Ole Miss. They got a jillion portal guys down there. I think Mark Stoops and them, and of course Mike Stoops is over there too. I think those guys have really done a nice job. I think they've really done a good job. That quarterback's really a good player. I haven't seen just a little bit of him, but you hear some of the NFL folks talking about him and everything else. Ole Miss will have a lot of speed. Tulsa threw the ball like crazy on Ole Miss. What's the line on that one, Matt?
About a touchdown, I think.
Ole Miss?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
I might throw some peanuts on Kentucky on this one.
Yeah, I would take Kentucky in the points.
Yeah,
yeah, I sure would. I think Kentucky beats him.
The Lock of the Week. Sponsored by T&W Tire. They offer 24-hour road service and a variety of other services to get your vehicle back on the road where it belongs. The Lock of the Week on WWLS, the sports animal.
That's right. It is time for our T&W Tire Locks of the Week. A few of us have already given our lock. I did it early in the week, taking OU -6.5. At that time against TCU. Is that line still at 6.5, Matt?
I believe it's the last one I saw.
Okay.
6.5.
Hmm. Anyway, I'm banking on the Sooners to bounce back. And the only thing I'm banking it on, Pat, and I know their defense did look terrible against K-State, but I didn't see that much defensively of TCU against SMU. I think that OU can play better defense than last week. But their offense, they still put up 550 yards last week.
Oh, I know it.
I do think they'll move the ball. So I'm taking the Sooners to win by at least a touchdown and extra point, I guess I should say, against TCU. That's my T&W Tire Lock of the Week. Pat, you just made your lock last hour, right?
Locked up Arkansas over Alabama. It's 17.5 points. Arkansas, I don't know if Arkansas will beat them, but I think they'll hang better than that.
Okay, so Pat taking Arkansas plus 17.5 and Mr. Matt Meyer.
Well, I appreciate you guys giving me a little bit extra time to decide because I'm working hard over here. A team that I cannot figure out yet, but I just don't know if I buy into quite yet, is the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Eagles I do buy into, and they got after, and I don't know how good, you know, Coach Rivera's team is in Washington. I mean, I know that Philly put Carson Wentz on his backside 9 times. I'm going to lay the 6.5 and take Philadelphia here. Interesting. We were talking just a few minutes ago. Interesting story. And this is Doug Peterson going back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah. Right, and got run off. Wins the Super Bowl and gets run off.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Pat. Right or wrong, in that life in the NFL, you bring an organization their only Super Bowl, and then 2 years later you're a bum and don't know what you're doing.
Not a very good coach. Yeah.
But I don't know. The Jaguars have been all over. First game of the year, and again, Pat, I know you're friends with Rivera, but Washington's fighting it pretty good.
Oh, heavens, yeah.
They lose to Washington. Then they shut out the Colts, who were expected to be, a good team. And then last week.
That was my lock of the week that week.
Well, I didn't want to mention that, Craig. Now, you mentioned that. I didn't. And then last week, I mean, they go blitz the Chargers, who I think most people, we know what Justin Herbert's all about and everything. I don't know. The Jaguars are all over. I really can't figure them out yet, but I think I know what I've got in the Eagles, and that's a team that will get after the quarterback. So I'm gonna say prove it to me, Jags. I don't believe in you yet. Give me Philadelphia. Now, this line, just for, authentication purposes, it started off at 7. It is 6.5 as of now. I'm not trying to cheat the system or anything. Verify this on Scores and Odds. Anybody that wants to, bring it on.
Yeah.
It's 6.5.
Oh, 6.5. Yeah.
It is 6.5. So I'm going to take the Eagles giving 6.5 to Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville, for them to hang in there, they're going to have to keep taking it away. They lead the league in takeaways with 8, lead the league in interceptions with 6, but the Eagles have had the top offense in the league, so I like that pick, Matt.
I do, too.
Pat, NFL-wise, what else stands out to you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was looking at the same thing you do, which is USA Today. I guess as far as the featured game of the week, Craig, Bills at Ravens, and that's Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Now, you got 2-1 Bills, 2-1 Ravens. I mean, with these two, arguably the best two quarterbacks in the league or thereabouts, you got that one. Now, you got the Chiefs at the Buccaneers, 2-1 Chiefs, 2-1 Buccaneers. With probably two of the better teams in the last couple of years in the league. Now, you got those going on. You got the Rams and the 49ers. And the 49ers are 1-2. That's the Monday night game. But I would say game of the week. Probably, I'd circle what Matt said as far as an interesting one, but either the Chiefs and the Buccaneers or the Bills and the Ravens. Now, you got the Broncos and Broncos and the Raiders. I mean, Chiefs and Buccaneers, Broncos and Raiders, and 0-3 Raiders. That's the only 0-whatever team. And I've told y'all over the years. I can't remember what Patrick Boland and the Boland family did to Al Davis, but whatever it was
existed. When, I mean,
yeah,
they
whatever.
Existed.
When this week came up, but you didn't want to mess with Mr. Davis. I mean, don't say anything funny. Don't be cute. Don't do anything because you talk about grim and wanting to get the beat the you know what out of somebody. And here you go, Mark Davis and them. Now the only 0-3 team, like Craig said off there, they're a better football team than that.
Well, to that point, they're a 2.5-point favorite. The Raiders are.
Yes.
I thought about Vegas. I thought, Matt, can you really lock an 0-3? I guess you can if they're on the winning side.
I'll take the Raiders. I'll say the Raiders get their first
win and
cover that 2.5.
I kind of like Oakland here. Or
Denver's
Vegas,
only scoring
Las Vegas. Barely
over 14 points a game, Pat, and somehow they're 2-1.
I know it. Chiefs and Buccaneers. Who you pick there? Bucks favored by 1.5?
Yeah, the Bucs are my pick to win the Super Bowl. We've talked about all their injuries, beat up in the offensive line. I think they're getting a few receivers back this week. It's just hard for me to have confidence in Tampa Bay to score enough points against the Kansas City team now, Pat.
I know.
Even
I
though
agree.
They're at home, I guess this game is going to be played in Tampa, right, Matt?
What they're saying.
Yeah, haven't heard any kind of word they're moving it to Minnesota, so I believe
Matt,
so.
Matt, it's funny that USA Today had the Bucs favored by 1.5 Scores and Odds. Last night it was Kansas City by 0.5 points, right?
Yes.
Basically, it's a pick'em game.
It's been all around.
I guess it could be a tie game. I guess you can have a tie in the NFL, so I guess – after a quarter, after 15 minutes of overtime. Anyway, Pat, I'm a Bucs guy, but I have not much confidence.
What about
this weekend?
The Bills at the Ravens? Again, they got the two quarterbacks. Ooh.
I kind of think Buffalo gets back on track.
Bills are favored by a point, 3.5 points.
By about a field goal. Yeah.
I would have, have to take the Bills there. Even though Jackson is off to this flying start, but the Ravens have the worst defense in the league, and the Bills have the best defense in the league.
I know, golly,
it's hard not to go with the best defense, right?
Lamar Jackson. Even the thought of Lamar Jackson gives me nightmares. He just does, right? You know, and you got to defend the guy.
I would imagine he does that to any old defensive coach.
Oh, Evans.
Ernie Young, we've talked a lot about his contract right now. I mean, he seems to have made himself a bunch of money, but if he takes one hit, I mean, it could all go down the drain. He's got a lot on the line. I mean, he could make himself, what did we say the other day, Matt, an extra 50? Some people are saying even an extra 100 million, but I mean – but at least he's got at least, I would say, in the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million on the line this year. Staying healthy as one.
Yeah, I know it. And getting him pent up's a different matter now. Goodness sakes! I hope for Matt's sake that the Commanders, now Cowboys favored by 3.5. Washington at the Cowboys. I hope I don't want to come back in here Monday when Washington's beating them. Matt will be all despondent and everything.
I won't be happy. That's another one now.
Are you afraid of that one, Matt? I like the Cowboys there. At home?
You know, it's up to 3.5.
Against Wentz?
If it had stayed below a field goal, I would like the Cowboys better. I know what we saw last week. I know that Washington didn't look very good against the Eagles last week. I'm just saying that this looks like a game that you would think the Cowboys would win. I'm not saying 52-10, but I'm saying that you would think Cowboys would win this one by about 10 or so. There's a reason the line was only 1.5 starting out, and it's been bet up to 3.5. How can I phrase this? I'm not as confident as I should be. How about that?
That makes sense.
You know, I don't know. I mean, this. The thing about it, Pat, you talked about this on Tuesday after the Monday night game. Dallas is humming around defensively pretty good.
Yeah, right.
And we just saw Philadelphia, like I just mentioned, they sacked Washington 9 times last week. I would think, I don't know if Dallas is going to get 9, but I would think they would meet up with Carson Wentz a little bit. I mean, I would think Dallas would win the game, but you guys know how I am about this. I probably overvalue it, but quick week, quick turnaround, Monday night. I don't know. I guess the Cowboys have let me down so much in the past. It's hard for me to be confident much of anything they do. But I would think the Cowboys will win. But am I going to be stunned that the Commanders go in there and win? No, I'm not going to be just shocked if they go in there and win.
No.
How about Titans and Colts, guys? I mean, two teams that would have been picked to win that division in preseason. Now Jacksonville is. Surprise people, but what do you think about that one, Pat?
Figuring either one, they both ought to have good football teams, and they still could before the season's out. I mean, we don't know where the Titans are with things, and you know, Colts are sitting there 1-1-1, and this is really what Colts favored by 3.5. Is that right, Matt?
Would yes, that be? That's correct.
Wow.
I like the Titans getting 3.5. If I had to play one side or the other, I would take the Titans. The reactionary pick is after last week and the Colts beat the Chiefs to react to that and say, see, the Colts have got everything figured out now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm higher on the Titans than I should be. I probably am. I know that's one division Craig and I went head-to-head on. Craig had the Colts and I had the Titans to win that division. But
And the Colts have looked horrible until they beat Tennessee. I'm still not sold.
Tennessee
on
hadn't
yet.
Looked a whole lot better. So
no, Tennessee's 1-2, yeah.
You got Jonathan Henry versus, Henry versus Jonathan Taylor. You know,
yeah, two pretty good backs.
Two backs and
you're
everything.
Right.
Will the Packers make the Patriots 1-3?
Yes.
Yeah. Patriots are scrambling, aren't they?
Well, without
Packers
Mac Jones,
biggest favorite in the league this week, right, Matt?
I believe that's
wow,
right.
Wow, okay, 9.5. Wow, yeah, okay.
Mac Jones, you know, probably going to miss multiple games and so forth. So.
Wow. Your Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, with the Jets coming to town, Craig.
Well, you know, they actually they're going to win one, Pat.
Okay.
They're going to win this week. But then we looked at their next four games, and it doesn't look very good.
Ooh.
This might be their last win. They might not win a game in the month of October, Pat. Outside of this one. This is going to be in the month of October. But after the Jets.
2-1 Bears at the 2-1 Giants. So you got two guys. Somebody's going to come out of that. They're both probably a little bit ahead of schedule, even though it's only three games. But, you know, Giants favored by, what, 3.5? Wow. Huh.
I don't have a huge opinion on that.
Who knows? I know. Well, who knows on either one of them? You just look down there. And
Berkeley
both
is playing a lot better this year.
Yeah, yeah. Both of them are 2-1, so somebody's going to come out of there with at least a decent start to the season. Boy, my Raiders, could they be 0-4? Wow.
I kind of think the Raiders get one this week. I got a feeling that this is the Raiders' week.
Yeah. I hope y'all are right.
All right, Pat. Great stuff. As always, it's going to be a great weekend.
Well, heavens, guys. Okay, we come back in here Monday. I just hope that the Big Four is at least 2-2. Please don't let us be 0-4.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.